Burr, motherfucking cold. It is cold, guys. What is up? Man, there's a lot to talk about. I had a feeling when I first seen this show. And that's why I wanted to make this podcast, because I got this running thing with my wife. We sit and we'll binge watch a show, right? And I'm sure everybody does this. So you'll be watching a show and you like say, oh yeah, this did, she's cheating on him, and then watch it's him that's the murderer. You know, you try to play out and guess this and that, right? Well, I got this thing saying to my wife saying, well, hey, listen, if you know, after the fact you said, oh, I was thinking that, oh, I thought that. It doesn't count. Like, no, you can't say after the fact. I mean, that's so fucking ambiguous. Like, you know what I mean? You thought that. Sure you did. You know what I mean? So I says, honey, here's the thing. You have to, if you wanted to call it and be official, you have to call it before and you have to say it out loud. So she'd have to say, oh, I think Brad's cheating on fucking Stacy. You know what I mean? And then if it happens to go that Brad is cheating on Stacy later on in the show, then she gets that prediction right. She can't say after the fact, oh, I knew Stacy was cheating on him. You can't say that, okay? So that's why I wanted to start making the podcast, because I had a feeling. Now this is, of course, the same way I told my wife. I had a fucking feeling that this was going down, because I never liked this kid first when I first seen him. And then when I ever seen him pop up with another dude, and looking at the dude that he's trying to make money for, or making money off of, it was total, you could tell he was just scamming the shit out of him. And if you don't know who I'm talking about right now already, it's China Mac. Okay, I don't really care for the kid at all. I don't like his looks. He's just a little snaky to me. He's just a little snake. So I'm watching China Mac, and all of a sudden I see this Chinese big motherfucker, ball-headed dude, funny as a motherfucker, right? And his name is Crit Mac. Now, when I was watching the videos, underneath it said Crit Mac, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I seen the fucking other Chinese kid. I'm like, oh, I know this dude. I've seen him before. I just couldn't put my stamp on it, but he was out of New York. So I guess he's like a New York Crip China Mac, and Crip Mac is in L.A. fucking blood. But Crip Mac, I think, he's wild for the night. I don't know if there's something going on or whatnot, or if that's his regular personality or whatnot. But it was just very strange, you know, watching this all go down. Because the type of antics that this dude was pulling, you know, Crit Mac, it was like, and China Mac was beside him, and I'm like, dude, you're doing this all for the clout on this kid. You're clout chasing this kid's channel, first off. You're bringing him around all these places, know he's going to act wild. He doesn't know one thing from fucking this or that or the other. All he knows is the streets and beating somebody's ass. Obviously, he has a fucking attention span of fucking nothing. He's uneducated, obviously. You could see all these. You could see that there's something hampering him. And I don't mean this by any disrespect to Crit Mac whatsoever. You know what I mean? Whatsoever. So if I ever seen the kid myself and interviewed him, I'd be like, bro, you know, I don't mean anything by what I'm saying. It's just that you can obviously tell that something went awry with you. Do you know what I mean? And Crit Mac was taking advantage of that. Okay, so because I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, wow, 130K. And I'm like, this is all because Crit Mac has got a little bit. And fucking now he's putting on this kid. They're walking around L.A. like, you know, oh, look at this. Look at that. And I'm like, this is such a made up fucking. This is so horrible. It's horrible. But once I seen underneath it that it was Crit Mac, I'm like, all right, well, at least he's getting all the proceeds. You know, whatever they're doing, this kid's getting the lion's share. He can't be all the way crazy or all the way, you know, non-intelligent to know where the money's going, get the bag. So somebody's in the behind the scenes working on the bag with Crit Mac, and they got this all tied up and they're keeping the kid right, and this is all, you know, for the cameras and whatnot. All right, bet, fine, great. whatever, get yours, right? I'm a capitalist too. But, so I'm watching these, you know, here and there, you know what I mean? Because at the end, so then he's got a girl, then it's like, oh, Crit Mag fucking finds love, you know? And I'm watching this, and he's in a booth with some girl and shit, and you can see he's getting a little, you know, you know, he's got butterflies in his stomach, he's getting a little embarrassed, you know, he's blushing shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so, like, you could see, it's like, and the kid's harmless, like, you know what I mean? So, all this stuff, and I'm like, and he's asking fucking, you know, Crit Mag, like, almost, like, kind of pressuring questions, and then, like, while he was in front of the girl, and Crit Mag would just, like, turn his head, rub his head and shit, and he'd do, like, weird things and stuff, and I'm just like, there's no way that this girl really wants to go with him. This is just really for the fucking clicks. Excuse me, guys. It's in the morning. I'm just drinking my coffee, so I really do apologize. So as I'm watching these videos and this all goes on, then, like, after, like, a month, I'd say after 2 months, right? So he goes out one time, you know, you got to see, like, the evolution of the show. I'm just giving you a background and some context. Like, when you first start a show, you can see that, like, there's no money involved. But, like, after the first month, you can see that they went out. They were going to buy him sneakers and shit like that. And I'm like, he's not taking charge. I'm looking at this and I'm like, why is he not taking charge of his own shit? Like, you know what I mean? It seems like he has no control over what's going on. Like, they just take him out. Like, he's this big star. And China Mac is like his manager watching over him and shit. Being like, yeah, let's take you here. Let's take you there. Like, he's, like, Crit Mac has already made it. And you know, China Mac just is like his manager. But China Mac is already rocking, like, he's already got, like, these, like, he's already feeling like he's already established. So he's just, like, sitting there, like, you know, interviewing. It was just a weird show. But you could tell that this was really, like, China Mac's idea, but again, when I was watching the videos, it was all Crit Mac, so they must have went on this, like, 50-50 venture thing, right? So this is my take in how I'm in person in watching this, right? But I'm like, he's got to be taking advantage of him a little bit, because this kid's not all the way there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way that China Mac is breaking him off on every single corner of the revenue as far as, you know, little clips are made by, like, the shorts. And if there's any, like, personable calls made to YouTube saying, hey, look, you know, I want to invest in some stock options. Like, I you know what I mean? And other revenue sources and things of that nature. When they're rocking the 5950s or when they're going to McDonald's. You know, all these things. You know, our potential revenue streams. So all of a sudden, I'm watching it, and so I started. Well, I didn't, but then I saw after, like, I don't know, maybe 8 videos or so, and this is after a few weeks and a month, a couple of months. I'm like, you know, I didn't watch it faithfully. If I seen it on the screen, I'd pop it, I'd watch it, right? So after a while, it went off, left my feed, so I didn't catch it. Then all of a sudden, it popped back up, and I see. All of a sudden, then I see fucking China Mac Ventures. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And the steal is in. Like, what happened to Crit Mac? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then all of a sudden it became China Mac. It came China Mac Ventures. Right? And I'm like, wow, this dude just, like, so either he fucking said, hey, yo, you're blowing up. I'll give you 20K. Right, and then you work for, I'll sign you, and you work for me, right, so that means that China Mac would end up getting, he could now change the name, still use Crit Mac, I mean, as the you know, as the bait for the clicks, but it can all be under China Mac Ventures, so now his channel blows up, now the channel of Crit Mac is gone, and now it's China Mac, along with Crit Mac, fucking, you know, featured. So then here goes the line. Here goes the 80% share. Now, if he says, "Hey, I gave you 20 grand. I got you. That's it. I don't owe you any more money." You know what I'm saying? If it's unbeknownst to fucking Crit Mac, he won't know that he's not the wise. Nobody's the wiser. You know what I mean? So it was like, who's watching this dude's back? Do you know what I'm saying? For the bag. And it's just, it's really just so all of, so I don't know, so I apologize for not having the whole story. And I will touch base back on this and after my ride, because I had to bump down to Mass to grab, you know me, I got to get my tree. So I had to go down to Mass, do a weed run, be coming back. And so once I get back home, I'm going to get the story. And then also, along in this episode, there's going to be another story about pipe bombs found on Jan 6 that has went totally under the radar. Now, there's two avenues to this thing. It's, could it have been a false, could it, one, could, was it a false flag? Well, it was a false flag, and it'll be proven by Dan Bongino. But they just don't like to say it. You know, whether, like I said, whether it be Howie Carr or Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino used to be an ex-Fed. Okay, so he was an ex-FBI agent. And I think he worked for Secret Service for a time. So he really knows a lot about this shit. Especially how standard operations would go. They call them SOPs, how standard operation procedures are going, what type of stuff happens in terms, what type of security layers that they have, and so forth during big events. Now, and who's supposed to be where, and things of that nature. Now, he doesn't give you all of it, but he gives you enough to where you're like, all right, wow, this is pretty decent. He runs an awesome show, and shout out to Dan Bongino. But I got to call it the way I see it. Sometimes these guys, you got to understand, they walk a fine line. Dan can't, you know, of course he signs an NDA. He's bound by a lot of stuff that he can't talk about in his past line of work. But he can let a lot, he can touch the surface. Excuse me one second.
How are you? Have a great day.
Thank you. So he can touch the surface on a lot of things. So there's two journalists out, and during January 6th, when the transfer of power was happening, and everybody fucking did a ride and all this bullshit, there was a pipe bomb found, okay? And I'll get into more depth, because I got to get the clips from Dan, just to kind of tie it in and show you the reason why. Because if I was to use the whole, I think that like the story is about, it's about 20 minutes long, and I don't want to play the whole 20 minutes, and but I'm thinking I will, just to make it to prove the points that I'm trying to make, is that these guys know exactly what's going on. Now, it was either somebody was going to take out. Now, the way he skims at it, it's like, oh, well, you know, there was a pipe bomb found. Was it a security, a red, what they call it, is like a red pill type of thing. Would it would be a United States, United States personnel would drop a fake bomb during an event to see how good the security personnel is doing on that such event. Now, to me, that makes no fucking sense to do that at right then and there at that time, okay? Because situations like this can arise, all right? Now, if they can use, now let's just stay on the whole red fucking the red pill thing. Now, if the government uses these type of tactics to test how good security is, how good our security apparatus is. Such for Super Bowl events, New Year's Day in New York City, you know, so on and so forth. Macy's Day Parade, these big events, they test the security. Now, what happens if you're on a marathon okay? You're in Boston, there's a marathon, and you want to test the security apparatus in layers on that type of day. So you send two bogus kids out with backpacks that have pressure cookers in them. When they left the fucking building, those pressure cookers were non-operational. But for some real reason, they get operational. Let's just say this is a hypothetical. They become operational. Now, they plant these devices where they're supposed to be planted. X marks the spot. They do that. They leave. Next thing you know is that there's a real fucking explosion now. Okay? Now, in the sake of the argument, let's just say that was taking place. That is the reason why they weren't found at that point in time, or at any point in time, there before or after, or in between the event, because that was supposed to happen. You know, it's funny how when things are supposed to happen, or when things do happen in these large-scale events, shootings and stuff like that, the cops are already there. They're already there. So in this instance, they're already there. And even in the Washington instance, they're already there. So it makes no sense to me to say that, oh, well, this was just some type of, they were going to use this pipe bomb in a Trump fashion. So as the point that Dan Bongino makes is saying, hey, well, you know, there's going to be this Trump rally down there, and it's going to be called the Stop the Steal, because at this point he's already lost the election in November. All right, he's going now. It's the transfer of power, and they know that if it's going to go down, it'll be this day, right? So let's plant the device. So if it gets really rowdy, we can set it off and use the storyline as to Trump radicals try to assassinate the VP of the United States, which would be Kamala Harris. Now, there's a report about Kamala Harris not being there for that long, okay? Along with the timer on the device. The device was set for 20 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes for that, all right? Now, the transfer of power was going to happen at a certain time. Kamala Harris was, in the media reports, only there for about 20 minutes. So it looks like as if the bomb was going to go off right at the transfer of power, when she's signing the declaration, when she's signing her name, next thing you know, kaboom. All right? That seems to be what Dan Bongino thinks. What if it was something different? There's a whole bunch of scenarios. But let's get Trump out of the way. Let's say that Kamala had a lot of fucking ideas or wanted to do a lot of things. You know, a lot of things for women's rights, law changing, things like that. Whatever it may be. Or maybe she just, you know, was getting big for her britches, and they knew that she was going to be a problem, but knew that she might want to try to do something to harm Joe, knowing the state that he's in, and things like that. I feel that there's a lot of possibilities why this bomb, or it could have been something totally different, or, you know, we don't know, that's the thing, but we should know. We have to know, because this is fucking dangerous at the end, and this leaves the door open for a lot of conspiracies and false flags to happen, and this is why everybody mostly starts to believe in them, and most conspiracies that were fucking laid out before us in the past have came true. A lot of them, 80% of them. 20 years ago, if you said that, they'd have said you're fucking nuts. Am I wrong, guys, or what? Ladies and gentlemen, am I wrong? If you would have said this type of stuff could happen, they'd say you're out of your mind. If Enemy of the State, when that came out, and you said that, hey, this stuff is really going down, they'd say, oh, you're out of your fucking mind. We don't even have the capabilities. Oh, well, yeah, the government has the capabilities. Yeah, we, you know what I mean? Oh, they tap this, they tap that. Well, that's why they don't tap fucking furnace phones. You know what I mean? Those were like those little arguments that you'd have. And once you talked about a burner phone not being able to be tapped, it like kind of killed that conspiracy theory's point of argument. You know, it was just these simple things. But now you have some real shit to pass. Even against rich people, it really makes it much more realer, and it shows the reasons why people are doing this, and it can happen to anybody. And now they really don't. They're blatant. They really don't care. They're blatant about it. So let's just say that Kamala wanted to do something. He wanted to make sure that she was going to stay lockstep with Joe the whole fucking way. You know, because Joe likes to sniff kids. Joe has a lot of shit going down in Ukraine. Joe has a lot of shit that's compromised. China has a lot of shit on Joe where it compromises Joe. Joe has a fucking crackhead son that does a lot of fucking stinky, smelly, sexual things. Holding guns, he's a freaking nice. He's a fucking moron, and in one instance, and then also Joe likes to sniff women and take a shower with his daughter, and Joe is just a fucking slimy, and also Joe's got dementia. He just got diagnosed with dementia. All right, now they gotta say, well, you know, you're not going to fucking come out and say this and that and try to take the presidency. You know why? Because it'll be so easy for us to do A, B, or C. Next thing you know, there's a fucking... But next thing you know, she reads in the paper, there's a bomb scare that the fucking... That all of Washington's apparatus, security apparatus, Social Secret Service, Metro PD, the FBI... The Homeland Security and every other freaking local PD missed shows her how vulnerable she really is to being blown to bits and to become red mist at any given time. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, there was a pipe bomb found, honey, underneath a bench. And nobody seemed to caught it. And they're just talking about it now, and if it wasn't for a pizza guy delivering a pizza to some migrant that was sleeping on the park bench on a DoorDash, we would have been fucked. We would have been fucked. You would have been fucked. So, and then she would have said, oh my God, we just had that sit down, they told me about this shit. Now she gets nervous, and now she's in lockstep all through the way. Why, you know what I mean? Why doesn't Kamala make her move? How are you?
Good morning. Thank
you. Have a good day. You as well. Excuse me, this is all. So why didn't Kamala ever make her move? Do you know what I mean? I mean, she has so many options to say, hey, listen, I have to invoke that a fucking amendment. I can't remember the one where they say, hey, he's not fit to be president. I can't think of it right now. 11 anyway, not chapter 11 bankruptcy, but anyway, so you know what I'm saying is that she could have came out and said he's not fit to be president no more, or I would like him to get evaluated by one of our White House doctors or an independent doctor, and those findings be released to the public. Ask yourself, why didn't Kamala ever make her move? Why didn't Kamala ever make her move? Because that bomb that was found was to let her know that, hey, you better stay in lockstep formation, because you or anybody can get touched, okay? And what we're going to do is, so if you play ball, Carmella, you'll get 8 years of being the first black vice president, and you'll have enough head of steam to go ahead and be or have a good chance to throw your hat in the arena for the 2028 presidential election. Okay? So that's what we're going to do for you. And then after these 8 years, you can be whatever you want to be. We'll set you up nice. But what you won't do is say anything to the contrary of this man. That's what you won't do. You would say to everybody at any time, in front of any camera, he is a good boy. He's a good boy. Okay? And so isn't his son. And you're going to lie and lie and lie and lie because your future political career is on the line. All right, honey? So do me a favor. Let me know which way you want to go. You got 24 hours. And that's that. You know, and you know, things of that nature. Then what Dan Bongino wants you to believe. He knows that there's other ways and shaping forms that they you know, because he leans on it that it's a somewhat of a conspiracy, right? That they've you know, and nobody knows about this. Now there is now you'd say, well, Wayne, isn't there some type of radio and shit, some kind of communications? You know, because you know, this will be. I guess it's gonna turn into a bunch of. What's going to happen is that you're going to see a video where there's a man, and the man that's letting them know that he's about this bomb is the man that planted the fucking bomb. But Dan doesn't want to say that. So a man goes up to and first, I don't know how he knows it's a fucking Secret Service fucking detail, okay? So he goes up to some fucking detail cop. All right, whether it be a Secret Service, okay, or whatever. And he goes up to the car. Now, he's dressed in black. He's got a hoodie on. He's dressed in all black. He's got a hoodie on and a backpack. And he goes up to a fucking car. And says, "Hi, good evening. There's a fucking bomb underneath this bench over here I found." The fucking Secret Service security guy rolls up his window. Totally dismisses the kid. I'm ad-libbing, but he really didn't. You know, he talks to him, and you know, and it seems to nobody really gives a shit. So he's talking, so nothing happens. So he gets dismissed, and he says, "Well, fuck it, I'm gonna go to another car." Okay, so he goes to another car and saying, "You know, hey, you know, there's a bomb underneath this bench. And, you know, it looks suspicious and shit, and it's got a timer on there." And, you know, or it looks like a pipe bomb, but it's got wires and stuff. Now he's talking to an FBI agent or whatever, or somebody in another cop. And you know, nothing seems to be happening, you know, and he's probably telling him, "You know, listen, there's a fucking bomb underneath the bench there." "Are you sure?" "Yeah, because I planted it fucking there." You know what I mean? He'd want to say that, but he's like pulling his hair out because nobody wants to fucking believe him, right? Because the way he's saying it is probably nonchalant, like, "Yeah, I was over there, there's a bomb." So he gets dismissed again. And this is a video of this, and that's why there'll be a part two, because I'll bring the video over. Now, he goes over to a metro, a local metro PD. And he knocks on the door, on the window, they roll the window down. And he seems to get them to get a little curious. Meanwhile, like a fucking cop car, either before the second car he hits or the first car, there's a cop car with the lights on, blaring, flies right past the fucking, the bomb. So the third cop, so he's in there and he's, you know, hey, blah, 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 fucking bomb. So the cop gets out. "All right, here's a bomb, okay, take a look." But now, mind you, the severity of the situation would lead them to not pull their hair out and run around and make a fucking scene, but at least move with some muster. And so if I, because now you know that the president, the vice president of the United States, soon to be president, the vice president of the United States is in the same fucking building. Okay. Not only that, you have Trump supporters out there. So in this whole world of fucking worlds of shit, of holy shit, this could happen. Nobody's taking a click. He's not moving fast enough. So anyway, cop walks over, finds out there's a bomb. There's a coffee cup there, and the coffee cup, Dan thinks that somebody sat there and drank a coffee. No, Dan, the coffee cup was the symbol to let everybody know that that's where the fucking bomb was. And I'll bet you any amount of money that there was contents in the coffee cup, meaning like there was some type of liquid, whether it been hot or cold or whatnot. It's January 6th. It's gonna, if it was hot, it was gonna be cold. But what I'm saying is that if the wind blew, it would have knocked it down if it was empty. So it was filled. To allow somebody to know that that was the spot where we have the fucking bomb. Okay? Now, the reason why nobody gets out of their car, except for the locals, is because all the higher ups knew. We know that that bomb's there, guy. We know that that's there. Whether this is a training exercise or not a training exercise, we know it's there. Okay? So they're like, fucking whatever. We know it's there, kid. Like, go fucking buzz off, right? We'll take care of it from here. So the locals don't know about this shit. So they go fucking investigate. And that's when the thing gets discovered. Now, unbeknownst to everybody, this bomb is fake, okay? It's a fake bomb. It doesn't work, okay? It doesn't work. The reason why, because however long this bomb's going to sit out before somebody fucking finds it, somebody could really trigger it before it needs to go off. Do you get what I'm saying? If it was a live ammunition, it could have went off before the 20 minutes because you're in the middle of Washington, D.C., and people are walking around, biking, maybe sitting on the bench itself and having a cup of fucking coffee. You don't want it to go off, even if it's the agent placing the fucking thing. You got it? Okay. Moving on. This was... Now, there's radio interceptions, and the JOC would have those correspondents back and forth with the locals, to the feds, to the Secret Service. So you know there is communications out there about this story. So, now the reports are that Carmelo was not there during this time, which was bullshit. She was there longer than she needed to be. Why was she there longer than she needed to be? Who started the operation? Who's the mastermind of the operation? How far does it go? This is all the questions that Dan has. Well, reason, Dan, you don't hear. One, you don't hear anything about it. Two, the reason why you don't, because it runs up all the way up to the fucking top, okay? Because it was Joe's way of saying, hey, you've got to make sure we get this bitch locked down, okay? And we got to do it right now, because she could come out tomorrow and say he's unfit to be president, and because there's a plethora of fucking shit against Joe, and we all know this, right? So, to sniffing kids, taking bribes, fucking showering with his daughter. I mean, you know, take a pick. It's like a fucking, it's a crumble of corruption with him. So, so we have to make sure we get her compliance all the way, the whole 4 years. And if even we get to win the next one with this bag of bones, we got to lock it down and just, we got to scare her. We got to let her know. So, To me, it was all of a message being sent to Carmella to be a good girl and a good soldier. But Dan Bongino thinks, you know, the cup is somebody, you know, fucking actually drinking the coffee, which I highly doubt. You know, who's going to sit on, you know, a snowy bench in fucking Washington and drink a fucking cup of coffee right during the Republican National Convention? You know what I mean? It makes no sense. And the reason why we don't hear it, like, and there's only two reporters working on this. There's communications of it, all right? You're talking about, you know, let's just sit back a moment. You're talking about the vice president of the United States of America, the first black vice president of the United States, female vice president of the United States of America. And nobody fucking blinks an eyelash on the severity of what just took place. The media is crickets. No reporter is out there is talking about this. There's nobody in the government. Kamala herself ain't fucking nervous enough. I mean, are you fucking serious? What a breach in security. What a failure to see the fucking obvious. And for nobody to report on it just screams a fucking corruption that was going on. It was an event that was supposed to happen to send a message to Kamala, but unfortunately, it got out. Because it got totally dismayed. I mean, I remember hearing the story myself, and I'm like, oh, you know, but it was like, oh, it was a fake pipe bomb, so everybody just wrote it off. Except for these two reporters. So now, what do we do? These two reporters are gonna try to see if they can get the communications on this and find out what's going on. But I'll tell you right now, if you ain't heard no more about it, you ain't gonna hear anything more about it. Because this would be a full-blown fucking holy fuck. Alright? This is a full-blown shit show. You gotta come to the press and tell them why, what was going on, was it a training exercise that went fucking wrong. But that's fine. But why did somebody lie about Kamala Harris not being there or being there longer than was reported? You know what I mean? Who called those shots? You know what I mean? Then you might be in front of a congressional hearing. So it just goes to show the power that still lies in Washington, and that how you have your council of foreign relations and things of that nature, and that is why these things do not, go unanswered. There is no accountability, and Dan is not gonna, you know, make it his life's mission to find out about this, even though he says we're not going to let it die. Of course, he'll come out and say, oh, yeah, well, we made a few, and, you know, remember that story, da-da-da-da-da, I did this and did that. I talked to somebody, he said he's going to get to it. We'll keep you updated, but, you know, if they don't want to, if they don't want to, they don't have to. So, you know, it sucks, ladies and gentlemen, but this shows you how that we got to get this scumbag bag of balls out of here, and until Trump comes in, then we can find the story and the answer. It's like he's a puppet. He's you know what I'm saying? Like, they go so far and then they stop because they are part of the system. Whether you want to believe it or not, they are part of the system. Don't get me wrong. I like the guy. I like the show. It's just part of the fucking problem. Because, you know, you can listen to this segment on his show and you can hear him. And then, you know, he'll say, oh, well, you know, when he has to cut to a commercial, he won't just say, hey, this is too important. Like, I can't cut to a commercial. Fuck it. We'll just eat the money. Do you know what I mean? But he still cuts to the commercial. It's just, it's just fucking disgusting. It's capitalism feeding off of fear. I don't like that. That's what I don't like. You know, and then, of course, I guess, you know, this is why we gotta get prepared. This is why I got fucking antibiotics. Da 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 da. Like, he has this promotion about antibiotics, where, you know, these licensed physicians will send you antibiotics for UTIs, sinusitis, you know, earaches, and shit like that. Just common antibiotics that will take you a million years to get from a fucking doctor. But if you get qualified to get them, they'll be delivered to you by a licensed practitioner. But okay, sounds great, right? Sounds awesome. Okay, well, you know, antibiotics have a fucking shelf life, right? And second, we send a supply every 30 days. So if you don't use them, just throw them out. Send you, or you can return them and get a few dollars off on the next fucking delivery and shit like that. Oh, that's great, great. Okay, and it's good in case of a catastrophe. Yeah, well, what about one of those catastrophes being a fucking nuclear bomb that goes off in your area and blows your fucking building to bits? My antibiotics ain't coming, fair to say, that month, and I lost money, right? I mean, this is the shit, the common sense thinking, I'm saying, that needs to take place when you hear, these pundits and these people talk, and then start promoting these products, and they say, oh, yeah, it's going to case an event of an emergency. Well, what happens if that emergency is a fucking nuclear bomb, or wipes out fucking that building? Do you know what I mean? Then your antibiotic, or the manufacturer that you get the antibiotics from. Do you know what I mean? It's not like this company saying, oh yeah, hey, we'll give you a fucking thing of antibiotics that'll last you a fucking lifetime. So, you can take them and buy them and that's it. And if you use them on the regular before the emergency, we'll keep you up with a 90-day supply or something. Well, the Wise fucking, the Wise thing. Oh, yeah, get the Wise. It's MREs in case of an event of emergency. Okay. So Wise gives you this fucking meal, right? All these meals, right? But so how does Wise stay in business? Because supposedly the meals are good for like fucking 10 years, ain't they? So, like, to me, it's a bad business fucking strategy to say, okay, yeah, we sell these things one time and that's it, we're over, right? But what's going to happen is that they know that more people will end up fucking buying these things and eating them on the regular instead of going to the fucking grocery store. You know what I mean? Like, where's the growth in the fucking, in the expansion of the company and the Wise as far as MREs and emergency fucking food? Like, it's fucking, it's numbskull shit. You know what I mean? But it's all a market. It's a market. Who would have told you that, here goes another conspiracy. Who would have thought conspiracy from 2000 when it was the fucking, the turn of the century, the computers are going to break down, to saying preppers would have been looked at as crazies, but now it's fucking so mainstream that there's billion-dollar companies out there making millions off fucking MREs, right? People would have said, yeah, right, you're smoking the fucking wacky shit. But no, now it has come to pass. So all those conspiracy theories and people created a fucking market, essentially. I mean, look at the Canadian Prepper. It started from nothing with the zero with the show. All right, teaching you about a Swiss Army knife, to now he's like, this biggest pusher of, emergency readiness. And now you got bumpers, and that's the thing. And what bothers about me about these fucking things is that they're all fucking bullshit, and they're just ploys to have you spend your money and have fear. Fear is profitable. Fear must bring in at least $30 billion annually, starting since 2000, okay? Now, let's say, Wayne, they had those bunkers out there in fucking North Dakota in the Black Hills, those old school bunkers, and there's like 150 of them, and people are buying them, and fucking storing, stacking them up, and storing them, and shit, and there's a community there. Great! That's awesome! That's so awesome! National Geographic Land is gonna come down and look at my bunker. Awesome! Great! Do you know where that is? Oh, yeah. They're gonna show it. Oh, good, so they're gonna plaster the fucking emergency fucking base where you stash everything. Your food, your guns, your clothes, your fucking this, your that, where your wife, your kids are, where everything is, what's really most important to you, your Achilles heel, you're going to tell me exactly where that is. Oh, well, it's just National Geographic. They're not going to say anything. Oh, okay. So you don't think that if I fucking pull up a map and fucking over North Dakota or South Dakota, you don't think I'm going to find out or at least process of elimination and find out where the fuck that community is? And here's another fucking caveat for you there, dipshit. Smarty pants that you didn't fucking calculate your little calculation of the end of the doomsday situation here. And you bought your little bunker for God knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what's that mean? We're a community. Yeah, well, yeah, you are a community. That's right. But, you know, did you ever hear of every man for themselves? Yeah, I heard it, but we're a community. Yeah, well, what happens when, well, let me tell you, how much does Bernie next door? Oh, Bernie has all types of shit. He's got like 20 guns. You should see it. It's wicked cool. He's got a lot of food and things like that, and oh man, you know, it's awesome. He bought it probably 3 years before me, so he's got a little step ahead of me. I got maybe, you know, 3 guns, a couple pellet rifles, and I got maybe 6 boxes of cream of wheat. Oh, do you? That's great. So let me tell you, right? Let's just say during this interview, yeah, Bernie's over there doing his thing. Okay, boom, fucking it. Shit hits the fan right now. Oh, yeah. Well, at least I know I can survive for like a day or two. Okay, what happens after that? Just go over to Bernie's house. He's been really nice. He'll accommodate. And what about your wife? He loves kids. Oh, you think so? Okay, so now they go knocking over Bernie's door. Bernie says, hey, get the fuck out of here. Oh, hey, I thought we were friends. Yeah, we were friends before this. Now the shit hit the fan. Now these are my supplies. Now, what the fuck, Bernie? That's fucked up. I ain't got nothing to eat. I'm starving. Next thing you know, he goes home and takes his little pellet gun and tries to fucking XL Bernie just to get his supplies. Now multiply that by 100. Those communities are fucking graveyards, man. Ladies and gentlemen, do not buy these bunkers that are surrounded by other people. Especially when you know that you have a tax bracket way bigger than some others, and some others don't have a tax bracket bigger than you. That means that their supplies and plenishes ain't stacked up like yours. So you got to leave the illusion that you just have the average, to where it's not even worth to take my little shit, because I got about a couple months worth, when most, the majority of people have, you know, 6 months worth of food on hand. But they think that this community is all going to be peaches and cream. That community is going to be a ghetto, especially when the first fucking 10 people run out of their food. So let's just say Bert and Ernie, Bert's down there filling up his thing, you know, every other week, going down there buying this, buying that, faithfully executing his fucking plan, right? So he's stocked up. He's got 6 months of this. He's got, you know, a good amount of ammunition, shells, all this and that. You know what I mean? When he's looking around and he sees people got fucking literally a month, and he's laughing. Yeah, well, all them people, laugh now. Boy, all them people are going to turn on you, and you're going to be the fucking prey because you've got more. So you got to hide your stuff and not show that you got that much stuff, especially in those communities. And in those bunkers, they know about the secret walls and the false bottoms. I mean, National Geographic has let it be known. I mean, they've done enough marketing on these things, and it's all over the place. I mean, people are telling you where they're making shows out of them, and they're telling you where they're fucking putting them, and it's like, what? So it's either bullshit or it's real. We don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm not going to be in a community with a bunch of people. And if I have a community, I'm going to make sure we're all stocked up the same equal. And this is how we live. We eat this amount of food. We weigh it out and say, okay, 5 ounces, boom, boom, boom. That's this many calories, boom. We do that much. Well, you know what I mean? And you got to get, you know, I wouldn't have a squad bigger than fucking, say, five, seven people. You got a squad of a unit of five to seven dudes, and their women and their wives are well connected. Everybody's in unison. You know, that is the perfect amount for you to trust everybody and know that you guys are going to go to the bitter end with each other, especially in a STF type of situation. But I didn't mean to derail you. All I'm just saying is that, you know, they make these situations, they're preying on your fear. Do you know what I mean? And some of these scenarios, you've got to understand, they're part of the system as much as they say they ain't part of the system. Because at the end of the day, right, Dan could go fucking run off in the sunset. He's got plenty of money. He always says it. I'm fine. We're square. He gets the tips. Oh, that's not needed. We're doing well over here. We're fine. I'm squared away. So isn't Howie Kahn. These guys can run off into the sunset, but they don't. Because they know that they have influence, and so does in the system. And the system says, hey, we'll throw money at you, okay? It's just like Dan saying, oh, yeah, he wanted to be out here for the Life March in Washington, right? He goes, this was his excuse. He goes, I'd be out there with you, you know, if I didn't have to do the show. He goes, well, I don't have to do the show. All right, so then why ain't you fucking out there? Well, you know, I like to do it. It's my job, so I'm here. But God bless you guys. You guys are awesome, right? So he contradicts him. So he gives himself, he tries to give himself pause and excuse, contradicts himself inside the excuse, and still doesn't let you know that that he could fucking just say, hey, you know what? I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to be out there in Washington. No. Danny Bonagino's not going to do that. Danny Bonagino's going to sit right in his nice office and make money. You shitting me? He'll tell you he loves you over the mic, but he ain't going to go fucking drop his fucking things and freeze his balls off along with his wife, Paula. No. Why, you nuts? You crazy? No. Well, Dan's a fighter. Yeah, he's a fighter. He's a fighter on that mic. You know what I mean? He's a fighter on that mic. So, and listen, and I'm not bashing Tim. I'm just letting you know that they only go so far. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's like, you know, when he says somebody has to, or if it's Howie Kahn, when he's talking to somebody, or let's just say, you know, a Democrat calls up. Whether it's Howie or fucking Taylor, they get these snide remarks. They'll say, okay, I want to have a conversation. I'll have a conversation. You're old enough to do that, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're mature enough to do that. Like, oh, okay, why don't condescend? Don't condescend and say, I'm not mature enough to have a conversation with you. Do you know what I mean? So then they want you to recite, like, the freaking First Amendment verbatim. And it's like, the guy can't do that, Taylor. Come on. Like, what are we getting at here? Like, you know what I mean? So it becomes this pissing contest because there's good points that the Democrats can make on the Republicans and there's points that the Republicans make on the Democrats, right? So they'll say, oh, well, fucking, you know, Trump's an asshole and he's corrupt and tried to steal the election. Well, people can say fucking that, you know, Clinton got ahead underneath the fucking podium, Bush tried to steal the election, Gore stole the election, you know what I mean, all this shit, it's just, there's always a tit for tat, you know, you got gold Bob Menendez, you got Hunter Biden, you got senators, Harry Reid, and you got all them motherfuckers, and they're all corrupt. They got stocks and this, stocks and that. It's all dirty. They're all dirty, and they're all the crooks. So I have, like I said, I have no skin in the game. But the only thing I run on is common sense, people. Common sense, because I can't change anything that goes on in Washington and whatever type of corruption that's going on in there. I can't stop. You and I can't stop. We have no say. Well, we do. We vote. Yeah? Try having everybody not vote. And see what happens. I bet you they come up with I bet you they elect somebody. They'll say, well, somebody voted. That one person there in fucking, you know, fucking asshole Oklahoma fucking voted. Okay, so if nobody votes, what happens? Let's see what happens then. Then they're gonna leave it to the delegates. Exactly what they do now. They take the electoral votes over the popular vote. So they're saying, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, the popular vote. It's not about popular. It's about these delegates. It's about fucking the system. So, you know, that's just all. So, you know, what do you guys think? I mean, do you think that if we was to not vote, we could change shit? Do you think if we replicated the COVID for fucking fights of freedom and pure economic equity between everybody, okay? Let's just take the socialism shit out of the equation. What if we just said, okay, everybody that's working and everybody that's living is going to make a, you know, and they can go to the congressional budget and find out a living wage, okay, and say, okay, everybody in the United States is going to make 250 grand, okay, and then they're going to pay, they will pay, you know, taxes on that 250 grand, and we'll take that them taxes out of the 250 grand right then and there. So your federal taxes is paid right off the rip, okay? So now you get your money, and now you're down to a, let's just say they take it. So you're down to 250, so 100, yeah. So now you're down to $120,000, $125,000. That is a fucking beautiful lump sum of money, okay, for a year, even in this economy right now, all right? So you're making $125,000 a year. Everybody is. I think everybody would be doing very well. You wouldn't have people, you know, doing this and doing that. Well, then you'd say, well, wait, my company. What if my company rakes in $50 million when I'm only getting paid $120? All right. But are you starving? No. Okay. Are your kids going to college? Yes. And, you know, and then there should be a fund, like an account where, like, hey, you know, somebody needs to fucking to put their kids in college. Okay, great. Okay, get a fucking form. They get a form. Okay, they write down the Social Security. Da, 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 blah, find out that person hasn't been to college. They go, okay, yeah, what college would you like to go to? I'd like to go to Cornell and learn this. Da, 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 that's what I like to be. Okay, great. This down the third. And, you know, and it's like, if we just gave everybody enough fucking money to have a livable wage, I don't see why you would need all this money for fucking this, that, and the third. Do you know what I mean? And I get it. People want to buy houses and this and that. But, you know, there has to be a limit on shit. And I think if that money was able to be distributed a little bit easier, you know, instead of one person holding $500 trillion worth of money, that's a fucking insane amount of money. Like, are you shitting me? We could, are you serious? Like, there's no need for that. That's just pure evil. I think that's just evil. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So that's why I say, hey, you know, even if they fucking, if you have people that are making $500 trillion, hey, let everybody make $1 million a year. And this way here, they can set their families up nice. Their kids can live right. They can live right. Stress would be fine. People wouldn't be friggin' dying. They would. No people on the streets. If we was to let everybody make $1 million a year, and you say, well, what about inflation? Okay, inflation. Here's another $500,000. You know what I mean? For the $500 trillion this one man has, you can get that type of raise. So if everybody was making that, do you think you would have a fuss to fucking say, oh, Jesus Christ, I gotta pay all this money in taxes and I'm fucking poor. I make $1.5 million a year and I'm fucking poor. My kid goes to Cornell University. I'm fucking poor. You're not poor. You're not wanting for nothing. You go on vacations. It's paid by your company. Every company pays for the vacation. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, there's gotta be a way. There would be, I'm sure there's a way. You know, if you look at all the money that this country alone makes, we should be driving on gold bricks, people. streets should be paved with gold. The United Street, and ask some old timers. They'd say, how rich is this country? They'd say, the country's so fucking rich, it could be, the streets could be paved with gold. Why do you think Saudi Arabia, why do you think the AUE has that much money to floss? Because they do. Because they say, hey, we're going to launch this and we're going to be the fucking capital of the world. When you see the future, Kazakhstan, the AUE, Saudi Arabia, they're going to be the entertainment capitals of the world. They're going to be the new Vegas. People are going to go out there. That's why they're making